time, we want to begin turning our attention to God's Word, and we'll be in the book of Galatians once again, Galatians chapter 6. And so if you have a Bible with you, you could begin turning there, Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. Paul is writing a letter to a group of churches that are probably in an area of Europe that encompasses part of France, as far as we know. And he's encouraging them to stay on track with the most important things in the Christian life. And here he's showing us how to ease the burden for each other. So let's stand in honor of God's word, if you're able to. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This is God's word. You can be seated. So as Paul is exploring the core elements of what it means to be Christian in this letter, he says some amazing things, some controversial things, some powerfully clear things. This is the Paul who was at his sharpest in terms of pointing out things that needed to be corrected and getting to the core issue of important matters of belief about who Jesus is, important matters of emphasis, like not just emphasizing the law and the rules over the law of love and over the preeminence of Christ in all things. And then moving into the importance of how the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is essential for us to be able to experience this, to learn what we need to learn, to be where we need to be on track in our journey of faith, and to make sure that we're focusing on others and the love that we can share. And so today he begins to talk about, really, if you had to break it down, it's about how hard it is to be a human being making your way in the world. Amen? It's not easy. We live in a fallen world, and we're far from perfect, and we inherit a lot of things from our relatives, certain health tendencies, personality tendencies, the early training that we receive helps us or hurts us along the way. And then there is this problem of sin, this devastating problem that has hurt all of us to the core, threatening our existence, threatening our future, right? Putting us actually at odds with the God who made us. And so, since people are traveling this kind of journey, Paul wants us to remember that, amen? That as we're living together and loving together and learning along the way, that we remember that everybody's up against it. Everybody's got their own load, amen? Now, we're all painfully aware of whatever burdens we are bearing at this moment, right? And if we haven't grown to a place of maturity, then it's hard to look beyond our own sense of burden. And so we need to be aware of that in ourselves. When we are concerned about ourselves and focused on our own suffering and our own struggles and our own difficulties, and that's all we can see, sometimes we may need to take a breath and take a step back and say, where is my focus, and is that the best place to be? And here, Paul is talking about the combination of dealing with your own burdens, which he says we should address and we should take care of and carry our own load, is a word that he uses there. But then he also thinks that we should be looking at the burdens that others are bearing. Now, when you're only looking at your own problems, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Because it's the only thing you see. But sometimes it can really make a difference when you begin to reach out to somebody else and help them with their problems. Amen? You realize you're not the only one who's struggling. You're not the only one who's suffering. You're not the only one with problems and difficulties. And just the effort of helping someone else can transform your outlook, because you realize you were able to help solve their problem. That may give you more hope to realizing that your problems and your needs can also be addressed. And so think about it. When Paul's talking about burdens, he's talking about physical problems. If you're living with pain every single day, nonstop, you have to find a different gear or you just can't function, right? And there's two kinds of people. There's people who figure that out and find a way to keep going, and others who really do struggle with that and will need help and encouragement to do it. And so there's physical needs. There's also emotional needs. All of us have been hurt. Some of us have been devastated at times. If we don't address those pains when they happen, and if we didn't have faith in our life and we didn't know how to take these things to God in prayer or to share them with trusted friends and family, and we didn't experience prayerful support from other people, then we may develop bad habits of how to deal with emotional pain. But as Christians and as the church family, we have an opportunity to bear one another's emotional burdens. Sometimes just by saying hi to someone, you can change their day, you can change their week. If that's all that you do, you've done something. But if someone begins to trust you with what they're carrying, with what they're afraid of, with what they're dealing with emotionally, with how they're hurting, well, those are sacred moments where you can take on some of their pain and you can pray with them and be as supportive as possible. Now, here's a little pro tip after 52 years of living. Men often, when they hear about a problem, they pull out their tool belt, right? And they immediately go to, well, here's how you can fix that, right? So you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, right? And we think, well, that's what I'd want to know if I was in that situation. Well, if you're married, guys, rethink that response. I hear some amens out there. What people want often is just to be heard and understood, that someone else really does feel the pain with them and doesn't think it's a simple three-step solution. Now, I wish I could say I was perfect at that, but my wife is here this morning, so she'd probably stand up and rebuke me if I said that. No, but again, that's just a good tip across the board. Rather than immediately moving to want to fix it, no matter how we want to help that other person, in the moment, what's best is just listening and being supportive. Sometimes even repeating back to the person how you hear them describing their problem, because somehow that's healing to hear that somebody else can understand what you're going through. So we're not perfect, but we can do our best and we can make a big difference in this way. Other times it's more specifically spiritual problems. I don't know how to pray. I don't have a sense that God is with me, or I'm struggling with things that I know God doesn't want in my life, and I'm trying to change, but I don't know where to go next. again, it's good just to listen to someone, to not move into judgment right away, but to help them understand. And maybe if you've been in similar circumstances before, be very careful, like it says here, so you don't stumble as well. But in that context of listening and supporting, you can always promise to pray for someone. And if they specifically ask you for guidance, you could humbly do your best to offer them some. And if they're interested in other resources, you could point them toward other wise people that you know and resources that you have found helpful. Again, it can be cathartic. It can be just a release of part of that burden. Everything seems a little more doable when you feel like someone has heard you and someone cares. Amen? But it's a two-way street, right? You can't bear someone else's burden if they don't make you aware of what their burden is. Amen? And sometimes, for some of us, that's hard. We want to appear like we have it all together. And so we don't drop our guard and we don't share. But the truth is, others can see that we may be struggling. So it's best to find someone you know that you can trust to share things with. And then sometimes it's more in the financial realm. And you may not be a bank, so you may not be able to loan anyone large sums of money or anything like that. But again, you can point people towards resources that can be helpful. But then you do have some money, right? And you do decide where all of it goes. And so maybe God would move you to ease the burden of someone else. I was just reading about a large Nazarene church out in Oregon that realized that medical debt was a huge problem in their state. And they also realized that in many situations, if you can just pay a certain percentage of a dollar toward that, it's matched often by the facilities that are needing to be paid for those medical services. So the more they looked into it, with a reasonable amount of money they could raise, they were able to wipe out the medical debt of over 1,000 people in their state. And what a wonderful blessing that was. It included some people from their church family, but mostly people in the county and beyond in their state. Once they looked into it, they found there was more that they could do than they had ever thought about or realized before. So sometimes financial mountains feel like those big, immovable ones. But then sometimes God shows up in unexpected ways and blessings flow and roll. And when we're cooperating with Him, it's amazing what can happen. And so if you've been through lean times and God has seen you through it, amen, and then you've found better days by His grace and maybe even surprised you with answers to those prayers, sharing that with someone else can be a great encouragement. But sharing what we have is good too. So there's all these things that we can do with burdens. We can help restore people, right? When someone is struggling spiritually and they're not staying on track and they come to us for help, if instead of judgment they find us putting an arm around them and encouraging them and praying for them and saying, hey, you're still part of the family and we want to help you get back on track, right? That's restoring. That's where Paul writes in another place, love covers over a multitude of sins, and that's what we're talking about here, that when we restore people, we not only help them get off of the track they were on before, but now vistas open up for the future for them to be a blessing and to be experiencing the joys of living an obedient, victorious life. So what's our response when people come to us? And then in the midst of doing all of this, Paul wants to encourage us that doing good is a thing that we should be willing to do all the time. Amen? Do not grow weary in doing good. Let's just say that together. Do not grow weary in doing good. For a Christian who's living a devoted life of service to others, that's a good thing to say to yourself in the mirror on a regular basis. Do not grow weary in doing good. That's God's word of encouragement to you this morning, because at the proper time, a harvest will be reaped. Now, I'm not saying that at the proper time, bags of cash are going to be lined up on your driveway for you to go and get, right? I'm not saying that. Sometimes the harvest is when we see wonderful things happen to other people, and we know we helped them hang on until they got to that point. When the prayers that we offer up earnestly over and over again for loved ones who are struggling are answered, and they come to faith, and they get right with God, and their life begins to come together. These are some of the most rewarding things that we can experience, amen? And so it's not just about what we get out of it, but it's being able to see the good come to pass in the world. And I think that's going to be one of the most incredible things about when the Lord returns. Not only as we have been faithful to the Lord, coming before him and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," but hearing other people get that said about them. And we know them and we love them and we help them along the way. Oh, I think that's going to be the greatest feeling of all. And then Paul does talk about sharing and about honoring. And so we do need to be a blessing to each other and do the things we need to do. And Paul, and this is awkward to say because I'm an instructor in the Word, but it does say that we should take care of those who teach us about the things of God. So I appreciate that you do pay me. I have a friend who's in ministry, and his denomination will not allow him to receive any payment until the church he is starting has a building that they own. I can't imagine. How do you get from A to B, right? And having to totally provide for your family yourself. So I appreciate that you guys do pay me. And that is something important to consider. Whether I'm your pastor or who your pastor is in the future going forward, it can't be just whether or not we like or care for the person particularly. It's about who is guiding and helping. And so that is important for churches to consider. And I have heard so many heartbreaking stories of parsonage families who struggle in silence because they feel like it's just too awkward to try to bring up the needs that they have. So be sensitive in this area, and you'll be obedient to God's word when you do it. But I'm glad that this is a church that has always tried to take good care of their pastors. All right, and then he gets down to really lofty language. He says that when we do this kind of thing, when we love each other in this way, and it's on the next slide, and it's amazing. We are fulfilling the law of Christ. Let's say that together. Fulfilling the law of Christ. When you think about the holiness of who Christ is, when you think about the standard that he set for selfless living and complete radical obedience to the Father in all things, it's just intimidating to think about, right? I could never measure up to the standard of Christ. And yet, in these simple ways, we can. Amen? Just by opening our hearts and doing the things that God is leading us to do. And as we grow in grace and we have more compassion in our hearts toward others, it's kind of just what comes naturally after a while. We can literally be fulfilling the law of Christ. And there's something cosmic about that. Do you know what I'm saying? You're tapping into something there that is of eternal worth. And you are fulfilling something that is of infinite value. We sang this morning about the sacrifice and the way that Christ lived his life in thinking of us. When we just begin to do these simple things of loving others, we are tapping into that kind of power. Now, that's an amazing way to live, and it leads to good things for you and for others. But in the midst of all of this, it's not just about another list of stuff we've got to do. Because the point that Paul makes here is that we are reaping that harvest, right? And so it's coming from somewhere else. It's coming from beyond us. And so fulfilling this is not out of our own strength, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about waking up in the morning and making a list, although that's an excellent thing to do, right? It's not just about tending to details even when you're tired, but it's about making sure that you're drawing on the power and the resources of the Holy Spirit, amen? No matter how smart you are not smarter than God, right? So ask for help often. No matter how much money you have, you don't have more money than God does, amen? And so ask God for what you need and be humble about his guidance. And again, when it comes to people, you may be a good people person, but you're not more loving than God is. And so there's always ways that you can grow and opportunities that you may be overlooking. And if you just let God light those things up, right? If you can just sort of picture it, you're looking around you, all you see is the same everyday stuff, and you're worried about your own problems and burdens, and you're frustrated, and you're just going through, just slugging your way through. But then you pray, and you listen, and all of a sudden things light up. And it's just one or two, and you're like, maybe that's one place I could make a difference. And then you just are responsive to that, and you move toward it, and then God shines more light in your life. That's what it's talking about when John writes about when we walk in the light as he is in the light, right? All of these good things happen, not only our own forgiveness and cleansing, but greater clarity to see how to move forward in life. And so it's back to what he was talking about, living by the Spirit, amen? That's where it's at. But this is what it practically looks like, restoring, doing good, not giving up, continuing to pour out love, fulfilling the law of Christ, and easing one another's burdens. Amen? When we're tending to these things the best we know how to do, it leads to good things. It opens new doors. God is pleased, and the world sees something different than what they would normally see. And folks, that's the hope, and that's the power and the blessing of the local church. We're one of the most important organizations in this city, even though we're small, because we love God and we know how much God loves us. So everything we do or don't do matters. So can we take this to heart and live by the Spirit, understanding that it's easier when we let God lead the way, let God provide the strength. And when we love each other like this, it feels good too, most of the time. Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we get disappointed. But that's part of the burden. And then we can come to each other and find the restoration and the strength that we need. Amen? Let's reap that harvest from the Spirit. Amen? Let's see it come in due time by today, easing the burdens of those who are around us, and restoring and doing good and sharing and honoring in this way. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for the strength for today. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that we know we can rely on. And Lord, this morning I'm speaking to people who have burdens. There's not one person here who has none. But I'm also speaking to people who are next to someone who has burdens. And it's a thing we all have to bear. But thankfully, we don't bear it alone because we have each other. And we have, best of all, the Holy Spirit ministering to us with the presence of Christ and the guidance that you, as our loving Father, would give us. So may we feel safe and at home this morning, Lord, in your presence and among the church family. May we feel like we can be ourselves, not try to be something that we're not. But Father, may we realize that what's at stake is some powerful eternal stuff, the law of Christ being fulfilled or it not, people's burdens being eased or pain going on. restoration to people onto the fullness of life in the Spirit, or continual frustration in the dark. Lord, it's not all up to us, but we do have to lean in to what you're calling us to be. So Lord, if there's a way that we can help others physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, would you prompt us and show us those opportunities? And in the days ahead, give us the courage to act on it, to see wonderful blessings begin to flow. And as we are dealing with our own burdens, with our own concerns, may we bring them to you in this moment, Lord, whether they be physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, work-related, whatever they are. May we just bring them to you, Lord, rather than trying to carry them ourselves. And may we just take a quick stock. If it's weighing us down enough, may we find the help and the resources we need to take the next step. Stop carrying it alone and make someone else aware who may be able to help us. So, Father, help us to live by the Spirit. If God's talking to you this morning and he's encouraging you that you can trust him with your burdens, would you raise your hand this morning with no one looking around? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This morning, if God's talking to you and he's prompting you to be more open to helping bear the burdens of others in whatever specific way it is, if he's prompting you, again, with no one looking around, would you also raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, these are good people. They love you, Lord. They want to follow you, but they need you. I pray that you'll fill them with strength. The power of the Holy Spirit may just be pulsing through their lives, making all the difference in their moments of otherwise frustration and fear and doubt, and also in the opportunities that lie ahead to feel optimistic and hopeful, to not grow weary in doing good. Lord, just do the work that only you can do in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies. Renew us, I pray. And let us be a shining city on a hill. Let us shine your light, that in whatever way you have in mind, may we not think small, may we think big in you. And may we see a harvest come that we never had imagined until you moved in our midst. And we pray this in Jesus' very powerful name. And everyone said, let's stand together. God loves you. He really does.